Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
All right, here we go. Hour two underway. Hour one in the rearview mirror here in the Sig Sauer Studios at the ranch. Mark Walters in front of the Patriot Mobile Platinum microphone for you, filling your prescription for freedom. X Insurance presenting it all. Greg in Dallas, Texas, would you be kind enough to tell folks, please, where to watch the program as long as they're not driving? Or where to participate in the chat, and then we'll go back to Ryan Petty for another fun hour.
All right, sure. If you want to watch the show, just head on over to armedamericanradio.org or .com. On the right-hand side of that website, you'll see the menu icon. Just give it a click, and when that window opens up, select that Watch Live option. If you are driving, hit that Listen Live link. And if you missed any previous episodes, just head on over to the podcast link. If you'd like to join our live chats, just head on over to your app store, grab the Telegram messaging app, create your profile, and search for Armed American Radio Conversations.
Yeah, that'll put you in here. So fun stuff during the break, Greg. I'm going to go ahead and tell it.
Oh.
Ryan's going to appreciate this. Ryan, come on in. I'll bring you in for this one. So, you know, I was listening to the guitar. I've been playing a guitar for about a year. I've been taking lessons for about a year, right?
Yep.
And I'm at a point where I can actually start hearing songs and pick up the guitar and figure them out, you know, and begin to play them. And I'm learning how to solo within the scales now. And that's not easy to do. And like my instructor says, you know, I get frustrated. My brain's working faster than my fingers are able to move, and I'm starting to unlock the fretboard. And to me, that's relaxing stuff. I can see some people would want to pick the guitar up and throw it out in the creek behind me. But during the break, I heard part of that solo on the exit music, and I thought, I think I might be able to figure that out. So I asked Greg if that was right, and I was plucking away at it. And I asked Greg, and I said, does that sound about right? He goes, it sounds like you need more practice, to which I responded forcefully. Well, I responded pretty forcefully to that, okay? And I said, I'm surprised nobody in the chat commented on that. And he said, I think Patrick said he walked back in and it sounded like somebody was standing on their cat.
It was Mike coming back from a bio break.
Yeah. Coming back from bio break. Okay, Mike, you do it. Now watch, Mike's probably a 30 or 40 year accomplished guitarist, you know.
I stand corrected. It was actually Doobie. That was right above Mike's comment. So it was Doobie, okay. And he said, geez, on a bio break and thought the new boyfriend stepped on one of Barbara's cats.
All right, so Dubes, I love you, man. I've actually met you multiple times. I love you to death. You do it. But now here's the deal. If you want to have some fun, that's why I mentioned this, ladies and gentlemen. The chat's a lot of fun, okay? And it gets salty, and it's a lot of fun, and people commenting. And I know, Ryan, you participate in the chat sometimes while you're on the air. The guys on the round table do all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, go out and get that Telegram message.
I love the chat.
Oh, it's fun. And Greg, did we pop 200 on there yet?
Not yet. We're still sitting at 199.
All right, so make it happen. Somebody go out there and get the Telegram messaging app. Don't be afraid of Telegram. It's a great. All you got to do is search for Armed American Radio Conversations, and you get to hear this kind of stuff between the breaks because we most of the time have the mics on for you. So you get to hear that stuff behind the scenes. It's always fun to do. Ryan, welcome back. Let's go back to New Orleans. And what we're talking about in New Orleans, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, constitutional carry passed and Landry signed the bill in Louisiana. And Greg, that was, or sorry, Ryan, that was state number 28. The very next day, not to be outdone, South Carolina, same thing. So we're pushing close to 30 states now. North Carolina, who, if the right governor gets in, then North Carolina is going to fall as well, Ryan. But that the same fears we heard when I played that clip of the mayor in New Orleans, all the nonsense. It basically, ladies and gentlemen, it's that old, it's going to, you know, going to be the Wild West. Now, think about this for a second, Ryan. New Orleans was the murder capital of the country for many, many years. And it went back and forth. It flipped back and forth between New Orleans and St. Louis over years, didn't it?
They were trading, and you had perennial, you know, hell holes like Baltimore and Detroit vying for the title. But
right.
Between those four cities, wow, dangerous place.
So what they're trying to do here, ladies and gentlemen, what you heard the mayor say when she was whining and crying about you, law-abiding people, being able to carry your firearms, which you can do with a permit anyway. Criminals don't care about that. They carry in New Orleans all the time. They don't need permits. It just levels the playing field for you as a law-abiding citizen. And now what they're talking about, Ryan, is another post-Bruin temper tantrum, correct me if I'm wrong, where they're going to try to pass legislation to make New Orleans, the entire city, a sensitive place. How do you think that's going to fly in Louisiana? I don't think the governor and I don't think the Republicans in the legislature are going to have any of it. But I could be wrong.
No, I understand they have a supermajority. And I think what I would do if I were governor is I'd call the legislature back into a special session and I would pass a non-preemption law like we have here in Florida, which says that the state legislature is the body that will determine the laws for, you know, the state of Florida, and local governments cannot supersede the legislature. And so in Florida, your right to carry is determined by the legislature and not by these clowns in local government that just, you know, hate freedom, hate law-abiding citizens, want us only for our tax dollars. Can't figure out. I mean, these people couldn't figure their way out of a wet paper bag. They don't understand why there's crime in their city. They don't understand why businesses are leaving. They don't understand why property values or property taxes go down because people are moving out of these places and just giving up. We've got to elect smarter people that understand how this stuff works. And it starts with finding people that understand the difference between a right and a need, and electing people that will stand up and protect rights, regardless of how loud the progressive crowd is yelling for their needs to be addressed. So we've got to get folks back like that. We have a few that you can point at that do understand the difference. And boy, if we had a majority of legislators at all levels that understood the difference between rights and needs, this would be a much better country.
Part of the problem with electing the right people is finding the right people to run. I've had people ask me all the time, why don't you run for local? Not in this lifetime. Not going to happen. Wouldn't want it. Envy those who decide to make the move. I know several legislators, both at the federal level and the state level. But Ryan, with the state of politics today, we have a lack of good people who are willing to put themselves out there because of the state of our politics. You're going to see it on full display in the House chamber tonight, I'm afraid. But isn't it, don't we need good people in order to get the right people in there? And that's so hard to do nowadays because of the divisiveness and the, you know, the toxic atmosphere of politics today. I don't know how that gets turned around.
No, I'll tell you, let me give you share a personal experience. I think, Mark, I've told you this. I don't know if I've mentioned it on the air, but I ran after the Parkland tragedy. I ran for local school board because.
Right.
I realized how important these local offices are. I mean, they're making life and death decisions for us, right? The mayor of a city, the member of a school board, your county commission. These people often make life and death decisions regarding transportation and how schools are protected and how crime is fought or not fought in a city. And so I jumped into that and said, I'm going to go into this school board. I'm running for school board because I want to change how this school district is run. And I was in Broward County, sixth largest school district in the country, 270,000 students, $4 billion operating budget. This is a big enterprise. And what the population had been electing, and still to this day does for the most part,
right?
We had a former bus driver running a $4 billion enterprise. We had realtors and school teachers, and these folks were not equipped to understand how to run an organization of this size. But what happened to me and my wife, I told you, my wife has forbidden me from running for political office.
Okay,
again.
Hold on a second. I want to hear the rest of this in its entirety. We're going to stop right there because we're getting ready to take a break. And when we come back, I want to start with what happened to me when we come back with Ryan Petty after this break. This is fascinating stuff, and it's indicative, ladies and gentlemen, of why we have a problem around this country with getting good people, good quality people to run. We've got some out in California. You hear Russell Stewart running out there for the city council in Beverly Hills. He's got a great chance of winning that election. You've got Craig DeLuz running in California 6. He stands a chance. He's been in local politics for years. Not Steve Garvey making a run against that liar Adam Schiff. We'll be back with Ryan. Don't go away. Buckle in.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Yeah, welcome back. 6 Hour Studios, Patriot Mobile, Mike, X Insurance presenting it all. By the way, Patriot Mobile, Scott Coburn yesterday was a fantastic interview. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great website over there. These are true patriots. PatriotMobile.com/AAR. Use the AAR promo code and get free activation instantly. Start working with companies that support you, your causes, your beliefs, and your lifestyle. They're out there. Patriot Mobile is a great example. X Insurance, a great example. All of the companies that you see at armedamericanradio.com that you hear on the program are just those. We have got to start making these changes in order to take this country back. And we're providing that opportunity with some of these amazing companies. Patriot Mobile, excited to have them with us. And I'm excited to have my service switched. I'm in the process now. And as we go through that, I'll let you know when everything's done. A little bit complicated because I have a whole bunch of phones and some of them are, you know, just brand new and all that stuff. But we're working through that right now. And it's going to be an easy process. It's just going to take a few days, I guess. And I'll let you know when we're switched over to Patriot Mobile. Do the same. Switch. Get away from those woke companies that hate your guts. Ryan Petty, welcome back. So you ran for school board and you left in the last break. What happened to you?
Well, I was attacked by the media.
No.
You know, I was running. Yes, sir. And I was running for the right reasons. I had the experience to be able to sit down with the role of a school board member is to help run that school district. And I had the experience as a both a startup and in the enterprises that I've been in to be able to manage a big budget like that. So I had the ability to do the job, but the media didn't like my politics, right? Particularly the gun issue. And so they made my belief in the Second Amendment, my defense of the Second Amendment, and I had begun to come out publicly and share with the public that the reason, contrary to what the media was saying, the reasons for the Parkland attack and tragedy were not because of the Second Amendment or not because of loose gun laws in Florida, but for other reasons. And how do we protect schools? Well, it wasn't about banning firearms. It was about a bunch of other things that we needed to do differently, like lock school doors and make sure we know who's on the campus and having armed security present on campus. And I hope we'll get to that later in this segment because I've got some great news there in that
regard.
Absolutely
will.
They didn't like my politics, and so they came after me, and I was called a racist. I was called anti-Semitic.
Wow.
I was called homophobic, and all in an attempt to get me to not run. Well, I continued to run. I did not win, and that election actually turned out to be a blessing, but very difficult for somebody with with my views to be able to win in Broward County in that particular place. But that experience made my wife come to me and say, I don't want you to ever run again. I don't want you to run for office. I don't want you to put yourself out there like that. And I think there are a lot of good people that sit back and they see, they sense that the media will attack them for their views. And I understand, because it's painful to go through that. It's painful to be called all of those things. But I think we need folks that are willing to stand up and say, you know what, you can call me whatever you want. I am not any of those things, number one. But number two, you're just a mouthpiece for the Democratic Party. And that's, in fact, what most of the media is. They're just the mouthpiece or the marketing arm of one political party in the United States. And so you've got to be willing to stand up and say, you can sling the arrows at me. I don't care. These are the things I believe in. And, you know, we're seeing candidates and people that are willing to do that. And I'm so grateful for that, because that is the only path forward. We've got to have folks that are willing to run for election, take those arrows, but take office and then do the right thing.
Did any media there, local, give you a fair shake at all? Or was it all negative in that area?
No, absolutely. It was the paper of record that went after me specifically. And what I've had other journalists come to me who had read that article and said, that's not even worthy of putting up on a blog, what the attack pieces that read about me. And they persist to this day. I sit on the Florida State Board of Education. I'm appointed by the governor, but I have to be approved by the state Senate. And to this day, there are state senators that object to my appointment and cite those, you know, ridiculous news media articles about me that claim I'm all of, you know, I'm a racist and homophobic and everything else. They still cite them as objections to my appointment. But look, you've got to let it, you know, wash off your back and just
tough
go forward
do.
And know you're doing the right thing. But it is tough to do. And I think to your point, it makes people not want to run.
Yeah. Why would you insert yourself into that? Why would you put your family through that? You know, it takes thick skin. Look, it's a full contact sport. Politics has always been a full contact sport. But not to the degree it is today, because of the proliferation of 24/7 fake news, social media, the haters having a voice instantaneously, and all this nonsense that's out there that just keeps good people from running. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. I wouldn't. I would just simply don't want to put myself through it. It's as simple as that. Wouldn't want to do it. Not at this stage in my life. Maybe a number of years ago would have been fun to do, but at this point, no go. Not to mention, I don't want the reputation of being considered a politician, frankly. That's pretty, right? I don't want that. Well, you know,
that's
I look
point.
At it. So all of this, ladies and gentlemen, what's important to point out here with what you just heard from Ryan is that all of that stems from one thing. His belief in your right to bear arms. That's where it comes from. That's what began and fostered the hatred towards you, was your right to keep and bear arms. It is, I say, upsetting or mind-boggling that there are people out there who don't get it, but there are, and they don't, and they're never going to. They don't have any intention. How many people down there? It's a huge area. It's a very populated area down there. How many people read those headlines, probably didn't even go into it, didn't make an objective decision on their own, just believed all that stuff about you?
I got hate mail after hate mail after hate mail. We'd knock doors. We'd go to visit, you know, community centers and things like that to try to get out the vote. And people would say, oh, I read about you. You're a racist. And I mean, it was just garbage stuff. I won't say it didn't impact me, because it's frustrating to have people read an article and not do it. You know, we started this whole, you know, couple of hours, Mark, talking about people not objectively reading the newspaper with a bit of skepticism. And that's in fact what happens day in and day out. And the newspaper got away with it because, look, it got clicks and, you know, it was controversial.
Facts don't matter, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about putting facts out there. It's just not. It's about putting lies out that furthers their political agenda. It's that simple. But you already know that. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues. Two more segments. Buckle in. They're going to fly right by. We'll be right back with Ryan Petty. The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. The Ranch. Patriot Mobile microphone lit up for you. Sig Sauer Studios on fire. X Insurance presenting it all. Guys, have you picked up MyPillow stuff yet? You need to. I saw a report the other day. Many of you did. And I appreciate that. So does MyPillow. It's what helps keep us on the airwaves, ladies and gentlemen. MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. They've got a really slick website over there. It's super cool. Everything you see on sale when you see a spot on television with Mike, you can find at Armed American Radio's website, MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. And a big AAR promo code is up there for you. Use that promo code, get all those great discounts, and support the companies that support your right to bear arms. That's what this is about. Believe me, there are more of them out there than you think. They're out there, and we're constantly mining and finding them. We get a lot of people come to us on a regular basis. You know, we got to pick and choose our fights. We work with the best of the best. And you see that when you visit armedamericanradio.com. Make sure to check out all of our partners, including X Insurance. If you need coverage, X Insurance will write you up. In fact, Ryan Petty, welcome back. You found and notified me today of a gun range that was having problems getting insurance down in Texas. And within minutes, the responses were, you need to call Rick Lindsay over at X Insurance. So, you know, these are great people. And, you know, WAFT was on yesterday. Phil was on. Ryan, you know Phil over there at WAFT real well. X insures him as well. Right. So great companies. Welcome back, Ryan.
Good to be here. Yes, and the X Insurance folks are impressive. Really, really like those guys. In fact, when I saw that there was a gun range having trouble in Texas, I thought, my first thought was X Insurance. And before I could get my comment in there and say, hey, go check these guys out, there was already another comment in there praising X Insurance. So this is a great company.
Yeah, we have to stick together, ladies and gentlemen. It's never been more important. If you find a business that supports your lifestyle, you've got to support those businesses. You have to. It's just, we are at that point. It's that simple. As much as I hate to say this, Ryan, it's us against them. It's pretty much that simple. You got to dig your heels in, ladies and gentlemen. It's us against them. Actually, it's them against us. But as I often say, freedom is not easy. It's an uphill battle, but I do believe, Ryan, and I think you agree with me, that in the end, freedom will always prevail. I believe that's what lies in the hearts of most men and women. They yearn to be free. So support those businesses that help you stay free, ladies and gentlemen. Otherwise, you're just slaves to the state, the deep state. It's pretty bad. Ryan, I got to go to Dettelbach with you. You're an FFL, and we haven't had an opportunity to talk about that CBS Face the Nation piece. We did briefly in the first hour. And I'm not going to play the whole clip. It's so cringeworthy. But you had Steve Dettelbach, the head of the ATF, who knows absolutely nothing about firearms, talking to the CBS reporter. I don't even remember her name. Don't care. Clown posse leader, whatever she is. And supposed ATF firearm expert who could not disassemble a Glock and embarrassed himself on national television for several minutes, then tried to put a slide that didn't fit on the lower of another one. I mean, it was just a complete debacle. When you see that as an FFL, as a patriotic American, as a Second Amendment supporter, knowing what's going on and what the media's agenda is and what they were trying to do here, what goes through your mind? Tell us and pull no punches. Let's belittle them. They've earned it.
Yeah. You know, it, one word comes to mind. It was a Dettelbachle.
Right.
I mean, he's just, what a joke. What an absolute joke. So that segment was infuriating to me to watch, because here's the federal government coming out with this table. Looked like some sort of a conference room from 1980, where they've laid out all these firearms on top of the table, and they've clearly been briefing Dettelbach for hours, like, okay, this is a gun, this is the trigger, this is right. The part where the thing flies out, it's called a bullet, and I mean, he's got all these. They clearly been trying to get this guy educated on firearms, and so. And he's trying, you can see him on his face. You can see him just trying to remember everything he was told to say about these things. But the whole thing, the premise of the whole thing is that these guns are scary. They're bad. And that we shouldn't have them. And regardless of the functionality or lack of functionality or the length of the barrel or how many times you have to pull the trigger, these things are not safe in their view. These make us not safe as Americans. And so these things are bad, and we've got them all out on the table. We're going to show them to you, to this reporter who knew even less than the ATF about the subject, what was being discussed. And in reality, when Dettelbach's trying to make a point about this one requires a trigger pull or this one's automatic or whatever, you could see her face. She didn't even understand what the difference was. What she was looking at was, the big black scary guns. These are the things I got to be worried about. These are the things that the gangbangers are running around shooting at each other. The whole thing was infuriating. The government scaring us attempting to scare us into giving them more power and control over our lives, as if we'll somehow be safer, and the media not doing its job. That reporter's job was to be skeptical of everything the government said. It wasn't her job to make things easier for Dettelbach and the ATF. Her job was to be skeptical. Whether she believes in the Second Amendment or not, she should have been asking tough questions. What gives you the right to regulate this? Well, what about Congress? Did they explicitly define this characteristic, or is this something you're making up? She should question that at every opportunity, and that's why that whole thing was so infuriating to me.
Yeah, it's a great response. But to get that response from the CBS reporter, Ryan, requires two things: knowledge and honesty, neither of which she possessed. Now, I'm sure she's knowledgeable about other things. She can probably tell you what aisle something is on in Target. But when it came to this, absolutely no clue. And it was very difficult to watch. And I think that's what made it so infuriating. Do you believe that Dettelbach and CBS coordinated this in advance? Was this done in unison to achieve that particular outcome?
100%. I mean, you watch Biden's press conferences, right, where he's got pictures of the reporters and, you know, it's okay to, they've got like a green light on one of them and a stop sign on the other one so he doesn't get confused. Absolutely coordinated. And at this point, the media, particularly the national media, is serving as the propaganda arm of the federal government and this administration. So absolutely it was coordinated. She was picked for a reason. Either because they knew she didn't know anything about firearms and couldn't ask any critical questions, or she's ideologically aligned with Dettelbach and this Biden administration against the Second Amendment. And so in either case, whether she's ignorant or ideologically aligned, she was the perfect patsy for that segment.
You know, her belief in the Second Amendment shouldn't matter as a reporter, should make no difference whatsoever. She should be asking tough questions regardless. The problem is she doesn't know what to ask. I commented yesterday, these three people were too stupid and ignorant to be embarrassed by what they did. They're too dumb and too ignorant to even be embarrassed by that garbage that they put out. But what they did do, unfortunately, we'll go to the break with this, ladies and gentlemen, we'll come back. We have one more segment with Ryan Petty. What they did do, sadly, Ryan, was they likely succeeded in scaring several million Americans away from the right to keep and bear arms because they get their news, quote unquote, news from that source and believe that what they saw was actually accurate. because there are people out there who are completely ignorant of what they saw on that CBS Face the Nation segment with Dettelbach and his expert, whoever he was. I don't know who he was, don't care, but it was a joke, but it was likely effective. We'll be back. One more segment with Ryan Petty. Don't go away. Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Yeah, use that promo code AAR, free activation at patriotmobile.com. Ryan Petty joins me here, presented by X Insurance in the 6 Hour Studios on the Patriot Mobile, Mike. Ryan, like me, I think you're making a move over to Patriot here too, right?
I am, just as soon as I can, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And ladies and gentlemen, you can do the same thing. Support the businesses that support you. It is absolutely vital, absolutely critical. Ryan, I got a text from you during the break. And I wish we had more time. I really do. Let's go here quickly. This is from Michael Crichton. And yes, it is absolutely worth bringing up. Briefly stated, the Gelman amnesia effect is as follows. Explain what's going on here.
Yeah, so I was trying to, I told you I was angry and upset by watching that mm-hmm. segment. In fact, I think I downloaded a copy of it and sent it to you in a rage.
Yeah, you did. Thank you for that, by the way. That's the way I wanted to start my day, really angry, you know.
I was so incensed. I wanted misery
love company,
right? So, but I was trying to figure out what is this feeling that I'm feeling watching this garbage on TV or, you know, on the internet. Nobody watches TV anymore. But anyway, so I started searching for this, and I, you know, one Michael Crichton, one of my favorite authors, right? He coined a term. He called it the Gelman amnesia effect. And succinctly what he says is you open the newspaper to an article on some subject you know well. And in the case of this man, gel man, it was Murray was the gentleman's name. In Murray's case, it was physics. In Michael Crichton's, it's show business. And he says, you read the article and you see the journalist has absolutely no understanding of either the facts or the issues. Often the article is so wrong, it actually presents the story backwards, reversing cause and effect. I call these the wet streets cause rain stories, and our papers are full of them. And this was Michael Crichton's explanation for what I was feeling there. It's like more rights causes more crime. You know, more guns causes more crime, which Dr. Law has refuted time and time again. But these reporters don't understand cause and effect, and they typically get this stuff backwards. And wily politicians like Dettelbach use the fact that they're ignorant of the subject and the issues to twist cause and effect and get them to report that. And that's what we saw going on there. It's what you see in the paper, usually in the paper or national news media almost every day. And we would do well to listen to what Michael Crichton said here, and we would do well to be more and more skeptical of what we read in the paper. Whenever I see an article that says, the latest study says, I know what follows that comma is probably garbage, and so it's safe to ignore.
The bigger question here is how much of that is intentional? I think that's the bigger question. Reporters know and editors know. I've called that headline surfing, right? You can read a headline immediately and know. We've done it countless times here on the show. Listen to the headline, right? And you know what's going to follow is all garbage. And you have to sit and wonder, was this done intentionally? But the psychological deep dive on that is it would take far more time than we have. But is it done intentional in some of these well-placed stories to get you to accept what else you're reading as actual factual news, right? It has to be.
Yeah, I would say it's, look, some of this is ignorance, right? You grab a reporter like we saw on Face the Nation. I don't know what her politics are. I don't really care what her politics are or view of the Second Amendment. But she didn't know how to ask any kind of critical question of this federal bureaucrat whose job it is, her job, the founders understood this at the beginning of the country. It's important that they ask critical questions. Regardless of her politics or ideology, she should have been questioning everything Dettelbach said, and she didn't. That's probably ignorance. But, man, I got to tell you, a lot of these, you see this in the alignment of the way the national news media sort of has whatever flavor of politics or ideology you like, there's a channel for you. And you can turn it on and get your confirmation bias in, you know, by the leader. And so that's what's going on in the country. It keeps us divided. It keeps us from asking critical questions. It makes us hate our neighbors. All of this stuff is driving us apart. And I blame power hungry politicians, the media, and what I said earlier, you know, in this segment or the one before, Mark, which is our federal government has become too big, too powerful, and too important in our daily lives, and it needs to be reined in and turned back into the federal government that was envisioned by our founders. There it is not a threat to our life or liberty or our pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, and I would like to believe, and I'm seeing indications, that the genie is out of the bottle now, Ryan. And the other side is aware of that. That's why the level of gaslighting we have right now today. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want any proof of what I'm telling you, simply watch the State of the Union tonight. You're going to see lies coming out of that man's mouth. This guy is going to look at you and tell you the sun is shining at 10 o'clock at night in Washington, D.C. And there, sadly, people will believe it. He's going to tell you crime is falling. He's going to tell you that immigration, diversity is our strength. I bet that comes out. He's going to tell you your guns are the problem. Your rights are the problem. He's going to tell you that you're not really paying as much as you're really paying. You're not supposed to believe what you see. But Ryan, every single poll is lining up. And I mean every poll. I'm not one for polls. But when you see every single poll lining up, that's not coincidence. That's a sign that people are beginning to see and snap out of this. I really, truly believe, Ryan, at some point in time, I don't know when it's going to be, could be, hopefully it's very soon, we're going to look back, hopefully, on the first Wednesday, after the first Tuesday, after the first Monday this November, and look over our shoulders and go, what the hell happened over the last 6 years or 10 years in this country? And it all started with the Obama. It didn't start there. But it was exasperated and it was massaged by the Obama administration. I'll give you the last word. Take it away. We've got about 20 seconds.
When these politicians tell you what they're going to do, you better believe them. When Obama said he was going to fundamentally transform the United States, he meant it.
And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Their transformation, they're fighting right now for the survival of their transformation. And the reason they're fighting for the survival of their transformation right now is, hopefully I'm right here, is because enough of us have seen enough and have hopefully had enough. Ryan Petty, two great hours, man. Thank you for being here. We love you, brother. It's always fun to have you on the show. Always fun to talk with you and get your insight, wit, and wisdom on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense and the Monster Cast. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it very much. Ladies and gentlemen, they hate it, but I'm going to tell you that we're going to get up and do this again tomorrow precisely because they hate it. That's the motivating factor here. That's why we love doing this. Support all of our partners that make it possible for us to be here when they don't like us here. That's what makes it all possible. Enjoy your day. Thanks for being here. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues tomorrow, 4 to 6 Eastern, 1 to 3 Pacific, and of course the Sunday Monster Cast. Enjoy your day. Stay safe. We'll see you on the radio.
You've just just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance. X Insurance on the Armed American Radio Network.